gone wrong for both of you. This is, listen, this isn't about me. This has gone wrong for both of you.
Okay, well, I think we're fine. I'm not sure about how you're doing. Good evening.
Howdy. Welcome to the Bits.
Hello. Welcome to the Bits. It's Paulina.
I'm Quinn.
And this is Claire.
So, thank you for joining us. Quinn has the giggles today. I don't know.
It might be the fact that we have to share a microphone, so our faces are an inch apart.
We're not going to get into too many of the details, but as we have mentioned before, we have issues with cord management, and today we're down a cord. And I feel like I'm in the band ABBA, just sharing this mic with Quinn right now. We're adorable. It's adorable.
Closer.
Hi. Get in here. Oh, God. I
hate it. Hello. I hate it. Close ever again.
Honestly, it's all a bit inappropriate.
It's getting highly inappropriate over here. Okay. Well, all right. Thank you for joining us. Before we get into it, I just want to remind everyone to subscribe to The Bits, because that helps us with our rankings on Spotify and Apple, and leave a review if you like us.
We're gunning for the top.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, subscribe, tell your friends, and yeah.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for continuing to listen. Time. Yeah. No, we are not saying goodbye. So, some fun things to talk about today. What's the hot gossip? Quinn, do you want to kick us off with the hot goss?
Well, I think that I am thinking of the correct hot goss, but I mean, our girl, Cameron Brink, WNBA first rounder, absolute star that came to Edmonton, got a little attached to her. She announced her engagement to her now fiance. I don't even know his name.
Ben Felter.
Ben Felter?
Ben Felter.
We love Cameron on this podcast. I love Cameron. She is easily my favorite WNBA player. So when I heard she was engaged, I was excited.
You cried.
For her. Yeah. Disappointed for me, excited for her. But I, what do you guys think of the guy? I will say, and I'm basing this purely on superficial, like, this is purely superficial. I didn't like his face. I didn't like his face. I was like, he looks like he is in a frat.
Claire, you have a detail.
Old money.
About him.
Old money.
Was the rowing him?
Yeah, so he was a rower at Stanford. So
old money
tracks.
Vibes. Old money vibes.
Yeah.
Okay, and does that not give you like major Facebook, what was that movie?
Yeah.
Those like twins that were on the rowing
team? The Winklevoss.
The Winklevosses or whatever. I'm getting those vibes from Ben Felter.
Yeah, that's not a vibe that I want to get from our girl Cameron's new beau or husband. Not really new beau, but going to be husband.
New fiance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But maybe he's a nice guy.
Listen, I don't want this to turn this into bashing him, because we self-admittedly don't know him.
Let's bash Ben.
But we're here to talk about humble kings.
I mean,
because listen, if you're going to get engaged to an absolute queen and star like Cameron, you're like, A, Ben, we are watching you closely. You know, we have our eyes on you, and you better be perfect.
All of our eyes are on you. Yeah. So, this got us talking about the husbands of elite female athletes, like athlete stars, women athlete stars, and we're like, who are the humble kings out there? So we have a few that we want to share.
Well, I was thinking of Alex Morgan, because she's huge, and especially in the States. So soccer superstar,
annoying.
Yeah, love or hate her. I think mostly we hate her.
She does play for the US team.
Yes.
So it's an easy hate.
Respectfully, we hate her.
Yes.
She's got a hot husband, and
he's really hot.
Did you know that he played professional soccer? I did not know that.
I did happen to know that. I believe he's Spanish, correct?
Mexican.
Mexican. Okay. To be honest, the only reason I know this is, and this is like, I completely, he's a handsome man. The only reason I know is because I saw him on Instagram in a picture with her and then was like, oh, he's hot. And so that's the only reason I paid attention to him, which is actually kind of a beautiful thing.
Totally. And like they have four kids or four about to have four kids.
Jesus.
And yeah, she is the absolute star in that family. So he is a humble king, I would say.
Definitely.
He played for the LA Galaxy for a while.
Okay.
I
think it's pretty, a pretty easy humble king label when you are also a soccer player, but nobody really knows who you are. However, I did just look at him and he is definitely a trophy husband because he's hot.
Okay. And I, to Ben Felter's defense, I know he's not our flavor, but he's giving me big Ken doll vibes. Like he like is a Ken doll.
He's good at beach. He's good at boat.
He's good. Yes. He definitely has rollerblades.
Ben Felter. I barely know her. Oh, sorry. Okay.
Okay.
Oh, he is very blonde.
Yeah. He looks like Ryan Gosling from Barbie.
You know, I mean, they are a very beautiful, tall, blonde couple.
Very.
I will say that.
They've been together since March 2021, so this isn't some like new fling. I mean, they're so young.
Yeah.
You know, he seems like he's cute and nice. I trust Cameron's judgment.
I hope that she has a prenup.
Well, it says that he has been low key. He supports her career, I would hope, but he's been low key about his support of Brink. He often leaves comments on her Instagram posts about her basketball career. I guess that's nice. You know, like, let's go in all caps.
Cute.
So, that's frankly like such a young boy thing to do.
Yeah. Yeah. You know. Okay.
Their hair color is almost exactly the same.
They look like
siblings.
They could submit for siblings or dating.
Their faces don't look the same at all.
Their faces are actually quite different, but if you look at them just on paper,
they're both two very tall, very blonde.
Like, I'm looking at a photo of them right now, and I'm like, this is a Hollister ad for sure.
Yeah. They're stunning.
I could not agree more.
Yes. Okay.
All right. Humble King number two. And you know what? This one kind of makes me laugh because Alexis Ohanian is the co-creator of Reddit. Mm-hmm. He's a tech god. Married to Serena Williams. Genuinely, the only reason I know who he is because he's married to Serena Williams. Totally. And we all know how I feel about tennis. So that tells you something. And this guy, Humble King, you know, goes and supports her at all her matches. You know, just kind of, I don't know. It just feels like he's just like a little bit in the background, you know, like he's not making any kind of effort to steal any kind of spotlight from her, despite like his own success. And just recently found out that his new passion project, and I love this so much, is a track meet, a female only track meet where the prizes are more than twice as much as any other track meet in the world.
Cool.
So the number one prize in most events, the highest paying before, was $30,000. His prize is $60,000 for every gold medal, and it is females only.
Wow.
And so I can get behind Ohanian big time, our humble king who is also giving back to the female sports community. We love him.
Snaps.
That is awesome. Do they have kids?
They have one kid, yes.
Okay. Yeah, and she retired because I think they are hoping for another.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, I did not know who her husband was at all. Didn't care, frankly. But he is big wick. Oh my god, big wick?
I don't know.
Giant,
I don't know what you're getting
He's
at.
A giant candle. He is a big wig in the tech industry. Big tech heavy hitter. And Reddit didn't know. But that he sounds like a solid guy.
I have a question for you, not athletes, but quick poll. Jay-Z, Humble King Yes or no?
No, I would consider them more like just power couple yeah. because he is equally as well known as Beyonce.
But would he be if he hadn't married Beyonce?
Yeah, he was huge.
No, I know he's huge, but would he be still as relevant today if he wasn't married to Beyonce?
I'm actually not sure he's relevant today, genuinely.
Yeah.
So
I'm not saying he wasn't famous in his own right. I'm just saying now I think he's a humble king now.
They collaborate so much on stuff, and I don't really see it as like as Jay-Z in the background.
Okay.
I feel like he is very heavily involved with a lot of the projects that she's on.
Okay.
So I'm going to say no.
No on the humble king.
And their power couple.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. But you had another one that there's an OG humble king.
Oh, Oprah and Stedman.
100%.
Stedman.
See, that Stedman is a humble king.
He is the humblest of kings.
Yeah, he might be the humble king.
He's like a lapdog.
Yeah, 100%. And he's just perfectly happy to be there in the background supporting Oprah. He has no interest in the spotlight. I don't think it would have worked this long if he felt otherwise.
Oh, no doubt. But like, we don't know what he's doing. Nobody knows.
Another wonderful humble king, Jason Segel's character in Forgetting Sarah Marshall. Always just holding her clutch in the background. Cute. We can't forget him.
That is a good example of a humble king. Okay, I've got another female athlete humble king husband. Oh. And that is Jonathan Owens. Do you guys know Jonathan Owens?
Yeah.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Football player.
Honestly, I know him because he took time away from training camp to go to the Olympics to watch his wife, Simone Biles.
Exactly. So Jonathan Owens, he plays for the Chicago Bears. He's a football player. And he used to play for Green Bay Packers. So this would have been much more fun to talk him up last year. But that's okay. He's on the Bears now. But he actually caught a lot of heat for a statement that he made in an interview. And people thought that he was not a humble king at all. He caught a lot of heat because they said, how'd you pull Simone Biles? And he's like, well, I'm a catch or something, right? Mm-hmm. And I think, fair answer. And I think he meant it in like, he was kind of like...
endearing.
Yeah, he was joking around. Simone Biles was there in the interview. You couldn't see her. She was just like sitting and watching, right? And
she could have been standing, like, she's tiny. Let's just be real. Like, yeah. She could have been standing and watching, and we still wouldn't have seen her.
She was stretching. She was on a bar. Yeah. She was, you know, flipping. She was doing backflips, backbends. And he actually didn't know who Simone Biles was when they met. So he probably genuinely believed, like, I'm kind of a big deal here. But then, of course, you know, realizing that it is the Simone Biles and like the everybody biggest name in gymnastics, right? I'm sure he was humbled by that and would
humbled.
Yeah, he was humbled by that. So, but people were really quick to just like shred him online. They're like, Simone deserves better. She deserves someone who's going to support her. And then she was in an interview saying, no, like, I thought it was cute that he thought he was good at everything, you know, kind of thing. And she was like, he is literally like the sweetest, most supportive partner. And you can really see that in, you know, the fact that he skipped practice to go watch her perform in Paris in the Olympics. And then he also during one of her routines. So while she was doing her routine, he's sitting there and he's making notes. He's like jotting down all these notes. And it's not just like her. It's like other players, too. And people are like, what is he doing? But she's like, he wants to just really understand gymnastics. Like he wants to like fully be like absorbed into. He just wants to learn and understand it and be like fully absorbed. He is like her biggest fan. He was wearing her gold medal around town, like to events.
That's cute.
They're very adorable I haven't watched it, but I saw the trailer for this Simone Biles documentary, Simone Biles Rising.
Okay.
The second part or whatever.
Yeah, so
and,
good.
And they look absolutely adorable.
And like he's cheering her on and
She said even, we are each other's biggest cheerleaders.
Yeah.
And she's always at games too. When he played for Green Bay. I remember she was always there on the sidelines. Now she's there on the sidelines wearing orange and blue. But they're big supporters of each other. They're borderline. They're not really. Like, let's be honest. They are a power couple in that they are very successful athletes.
Yeah.
But she is like the biggest athlete, like kind of in the world right now.
They can all be Stedmans.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. But he is a humble king.
Yes.
Like, I'm pro.
Being okay with being overshadowed. I have another humble king that we haven't discussed. Abby Wambach.
Oh,
to
yeah.
Glennon Doyle. I think Abby's the humble king.
Abby Doyle is. Abby Wambach is the humble king.
Yes.
In that relationship.
100%.
Yeah, yeah, she is. I agree. And she was kind of a big deal soccer player, right?
Massive.
But Glennon Doyle just achieved massive success.
Exploded, yeah.
And then Abby kind of took a step back, right? But then they're both retired. Of a power couple status.
They
now
are
too.
A power couple, but Abby was a record breaking gold medal Olympic winner.
Yeah.
Medalist. And then Glennon Doyle kind of was just kind of exploding in her career when Abby retired. And now it's like super cute to watch them because Abby is like her biggest fan as well.
For sure.
And they do a podcast together. Yes. It's like so that's, really sweet.
That's the only reason I say like they're kind of into power couple status now because of this podcast that's really taken off.
Right.
I haven't listened to it, but it's a big podcast. Yeah.
Hey, speaking of podcasts, you wanted to talk about somebody's podcast.
Oh.
I mean, it obviously won't be as big as The Bits, but tell us.
Did you guys know that Angel Reese has launched a podcast?
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So Angel Reese has launched a podcast and Shaquille O'Neal, I think, is behind it.
Oh, cool.
In partnership or supporting or whatever. So she, and this was really stemming from her wanting to control the narrative, I think, around all the chatter that we see around Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark.
Okay,
frankly,
cool.
I love a rivalry. I love that there is this rivalry that exists between Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark. But
it's called Unapologetically Angel.
Yes. And Angel Reese is known to be a little bit, you know, of the...
Like firecracker.
She's a firecracker.
But I like what you said there, where it's like her ability, taking that power to control the narrative. I love that. It's like people get to know her in a way that she wants people to get to know her, not in like a small exchange in a game or whatever the media is portraying her as. So that's really cool.
So what is the plan to talk about?
So every week they engage in unfiltered conversations featuring an all-star cast of guests while delving into a wide range of topics. Recent friends. Yeah, so on her most recent episode, she has an appearance from Gab Union, who is also on my list of humble kings because she's the actress from Bring It On.
I was going to say Gabrielle Union is from Bring It On.
Yeah, and her husband is like an NBA star.
Oh.
But I think she's more famous. But I'm not a
to us.
NBA. Yeah. Yeah.
To the millennials who grew up on Bring It On, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm definitely going to listen. It's a weekly podcast. It's like an hour long, it looks like. So,
yeah, they're already at 50,000 subscribers or something.
Wow.
Yeah. That must be nice.
I'm going to be honest. Hour long, not doing it. I'm the short podcast gal.
But it involves
we're
a
running
lot
out of time.
But it involves interviews, which I think allow you to go on a little bit longer, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So she has guests like Dwayne Wade. I can't talk today. Dwayne Wade.
I don't know
Wade,
if any of us can.
Cheryl Swoops, Polo G. Yeah.
The rapper.
I know. Yeah. I knew you would know.
He came to K-Days.
What?
Honestly, the only reason I know is he was in Calgary and like absolutely caused chaos. His fans are, definitely brought some weapons to the shows in Calgary and in Edmonton. So that's genuinely the only reason. I hope he's married to a famous woman and he gets to be a humble king.
Sorry, when was he at K-Days?
Not last year or the year before.
Interesting. Well, Dwayne Wade is exciting. Cheryl Swoops, former WNBA player. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm sure there will be more guests as this picks up steam as well. Mm-hmm. But I think it's really smart for her to do this.
Yeah,
do you
agreed.
Think that we start a campaign to be guests on her podcast? Like, how do you think that goes? Like, why wouldn't we just try?
I mean, we should try anything
and
everything.
Biddies, if you're out there, start tagging us on everything that Angel Reese posts or talks about. And let's see what we can do here.
And Zach Hyman.
Let's ambush her feed. I would say we could DM her, but Cameron Brink never responded to my DM she was in Edmonton. So I don't expect Angel Reese will either.
Okay, so priority one, Zach Hyman on the show.
Or
priority two.
That's definitely the most achievable, but you know what? We're going to keep dreaming big here.
Okay. Well, it is once again an NFL weekend.
Week five.
It feels longer.
Yeah.
It feels like we have been in this for months now. And I think it might have something to do with how insane this season has been and how there is a thousand injuries at once.
Well, and also time of year, because we're not really baseball folks. And so I feel like we're just getting into Major League Baseball playoffs. I don't watch it. There's a huge gap right now. There's no hockey. It's getting dark outside at nighttime early. It's, you know, we have to wait so long in between football weeks. So it feels longer, I think. But so I agree. And because of the terrible injuries that just are nonstop.
It's been wild. It has been wild. Yeah. Quinn's team is in the dumpster in one of our leagues. I'm not totally sure it's coming back. But it's
you say you had to laugh even on your birthday week? You had to laugh it off.
Yeah, of course, because I was also leading with like a one quarter to go for finally my first week win, and then everything just tanked. My defense tanked, and then I can't even remember. It doesn't even matter. Honestly, this is my first time ever, and I've just decided, A, I'm not giving away my team until the end of the season. So I like refuse to support other teams. Like I've had multiple trade requests for my best players and I'm like, you can just go fuck right off because I will not be trading anybody. The only time I'm going to trade is if either you or Paulina are going to win the league. And then I'm dumping all my highest scoring players to you so that
you can't do that.
Just going to pipe in here. That is collusion and we will not be participating.
No, but I appreciate the spirit of it.
You'll participate. No, if I'm like, hey, take Brock Purdy.
That's how you get kicked out of a league. But I don't think Purdy's the guy that's going to push it over the edge.
But I will entertain a fair trade for one of your best players.
Listen, I got into a big fight in a family game of Catan for behavior exactly like that. Someone knew they were down and handed all their sheep over to their husband.
Pisses me
and
off.
I was like, what are we even doing here?
Yeah. Catan brings out.
For $900? Like, really? You wouldn't take, like, Breece Hall?
No,
I mean,
it's literally part of the rules.
Yeah, you're not allowed.
League. You cannot collude.
You can't. You're not. And there's trade deadlines.
Yes. Yes. Correct. That is correct. So.
But, you know, Quinn's learning. It's a learning moment.
Yeah, learning moment.
What did you learn?
What did you learn?
I learned that I'm now going to trade all my best players to other people in the league who will accept them because we know David McBrien is taking my best players if has a chance of winning the league.
We're trying
Cut the music. She didn't learn anything.
We're trying to give you a bit here, okay? This is a takeaway. There are rules in place. You are not the first person to have this idea.
There are unwritten rules.
Nope.
There are unwritten rules, and I don't follow those rules.
They're written.
Listen, I was just trying to help. You know what? That's fine. You don't have to take my star players who are in the tank with me at 0-8.
I will take them.
She has gone rogue in the league. She is a league criminal.
I will be making trade requests at 0-8. We're not quite at the cutoff at that point.
Yeah, you just baited a trade shark. You realize that.
And it will be deny. You're not getting a single player from me.
Claire's going to be like...
We both went from getting
this
all...
Is, yeah. This has gone wrong for both of you. Listen, this isn't about me. This has gone wrong for both of you.
Okay, well, I think we're fine. I'm not sure about how you're doing, Q-Piz.
I'm really unsure.
It's still early.
She has had on a roller so coaster. Many different opinions on herself, on her team, on us, on the league in a matter of seconds.
Okay. This is what fantasy football does to people. You know, that's the learning moment.
Yeah.
It's like, this is the emotional roller coaster that you were thrust into. She's pouting right now.
She's unhinged,
left the room.
Actually.
Oh, she's just not listening.
She's unhinged. Yeah. Unhinged behavior. And that is what happens when you're in the belly of the beast.
Right now, you guys?
Do you want to know what this is? This is someone flipping the Catan board at family board game night.
Correct. Quinn just flipped the board. Okay, so our learning moment didn't really go as planned because Quinn evidently learned nothing. But I do have a fantasy tip of the week.
Oh, love it.
And I
make a trade with Quinn. That's the tip.
Get the fuck out of here.
Get your own mic.
That is my mic.
Okay. So This was both a learning moment and a harsh reality for me this week. I didn't realize the first bye week, week five, that came so quickly in my eyes and so abruptly. And I hate that feeling of opening your app and just seeing all the like red bars along players that are out that week because it's a bye. And this is my tip. You look at who is on bye for your teams right now for week six. Like, go and start planning now because I waited too long. And in one of my leagues, I am absolutely screwed out of a starting wide receiver right now because I waited too long. My main guys are on bye for receivers. What? And then Malik Nabers is injured and probably not playing this week. So I am like, I am desperate, okay? And there's absolute garbage on waivers, and it was getting really down to the wire to make trades. So I was trying to trade for Mike Evans today, but the guy did not make the trade in time, and obviously Mike Evans was playing, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, tonight. So now I'm just a little bit in trouble this week for one of my teams, and it's because I didn't plan for the bye week. So I'm serious. Look who is on bye on your roster for week six and start making moves now. Start making a plan.
Listen, I'm just piping in one more time. This is my first year in fantasy and I already knew that. But you know what?
We know about bye weeks. It's just this one just kind of... Yeah, the first bye week can sometimes be a little bit of a surprise.
I always look at the following week.
It can sneak up
good
on
for
you.
You.
And I think...
I am happy for you that
yeah,
you do
I'm
that.
Yeah, I'm 0-8, so really, what do I know?
Anyway, that was my fantasy tip of the week.
Yeah, and it's a good one because it can sneak up on you. The other thing, though, that is a reality is trades can be tough sometimes. Sometimes people just won't do them. I'm in that space right now. It will probably change later. But for right now, I'm not really interested in making trades, but I've been on the other side of that and I've built up a bit of a reputation.
Yeah. Can I talk about trade etiquette for a second?
I'm the only one here that's listening, but yes, I don't know if it's for me, but go ahead.
Can I just speak my truth on how I like to be approached for trades?
Yeah. Like buy a drink first?
No.
Okay.
Send me the trade offer. I'm not interested in having a conversation.
Oh, interesting. Some people are.
I know. Yeah,
I prefer a conversation.
Fair. And not everyone is the same. So I'm not saying that this is like, I'm just saying for me, and some people have different opinions on how they like to do trades. I'm like, send me the offer because I feel very well informed, right? So, and I think that's part of it. I feel like I'm very informed on the players and and my team and what will work and what won't work. So I don't need to be like convinced to make a certain trade. Like I will, and then I'm like, okay, if I like it or don't like it, I will reject it or I will send a counter. And I feel the same way if I send a trade offer to you or to someone and they're like, I don't like this trade. Like, okay, great. Counter if you don't like it or reject it. Not a big deal. I don't take it personally. But like, I'm not interested in like, I'm in a lot of leagues. I don't have time to have like all these conversations about different players and different trades.
Can I tell you how I feel when a trade comes up?
Dopamine.
Like, I'm interested, but I'm not that interested, but I think she might be interested, but do I want to be interested, but now she's not interested, so now all of a sudden I'm starting to get interested. Am I interested? I'm not really interested. Should I play like I'm interested, but I'm not that interested, but I think she might be interested, but do I want to be interested, but now she's not interested?
That's how I feel.
That is good. That is accurate.
That tracks on how I see your brain.
Yeah.
No, but that is, you're right. That is, I like it.
Yeah.
But the trades are... I also want to send a little like encouragement to people who might be newer to football leagues. Like, get trading. That is half the fun of being in a fantasy football league. I don't want to feel like I'm constantly out there like throwing out trades. Like, throw trades my way.
Is it, Quinn? Is it half the fun making trades?
No comment.
When I did my first ever fantasy football league, I ignored all trades. I didn't want to deal with the stress of it. And it's because I just didn't want to deal with it. But I think it comes with like being in fantasy football leagues a little longer. You get more comfortable.
It's true.
It's all about a comfort level.
Okay. So one other thing we wanted to talk about today was some betting.
Yeah. So... do you guys have any bets you're excited about? I've got a couple.
Not for this week. No.
Okay. I think the bet I'm most excited about is probably the Kansas City Chiefs and the New Orleans Saints. Now, Kansas is Kansas City, right? Kansas City is Kansas City. They have been dominant. They're the best team in the league. They're going to the Super Bowl. Let's be honest.
They haven't lost since Christmas.
No.
Last year.
No.
Is that true? So, I think that's true.
It wouldn't surprise me. So they are favored. However, I think their luck, to an extent, has run out. And I say luck because they have a lot of players, key players on their team that are out. Isaiah Pacheco. They just lost Rashee Rice. Obviously, Travis Kelce is still in the conversation, but it's not the same Chiefs team as it used to be where it's just like Mahomes to Kelce anymore. Yep. Right. Yep. And I think that their time to lose is this weekend, even though they're still favored and it's still the Chiefs and they could still pull it off. But I'm really liking the Saints offense.
They're plus 215 on Cool Bet. So that seems like a pretty safe bet to make.
I'm going in on the Saints this weekend.
Okay, me too.
Yeah.
Let's all go in.
Let's all go in on it. And then if we want to make a little like fun parlay, I think I might take the Rams. What are they favored at? Do you guys have that?
They are plus 141 against the Packers.
Yeah.
Underdogs.
Yeah. Well, you got to make it interesting. It's not fun to bet on the...
I never bet for the favorite because it's impossible to win money. That's just my philosophy for betting. And here I am losing money.
Yeah. I mean, last year when we started betting, I was telling everybody, I was like, did you know you can bet money on whether or not Connor McDavid is going to score a goal or get an assist in a game? And they give you money if you bet that.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, this is free money.
Yeah.
I didn't win a lot because the odds were not in my favor, but I still won money.
Yeah, exactly. Honestly, hockey bets... during the playoffs were really fun.
Oh.
Those were really fun. And we will talk about hockey bets once the regular season starts. And we'll get into some of our ideal bets there. But
I will say, though, before the season starts, you can actually bet on something like who's going to win the Art Ross Trophy, who's going to win the Stanley Cup this year. And I'm just saying the odds are plus 680 for the Edmonton Oilers. And they are up there in the favorites to win. So those are much better odds than I took in the playoffs.
Hey, it's our year. It's our goddamn year.
Dig in.
Dig in.
Right now.
Okay, and then one more football bet that you can add to your little parlay if you want, in addition to the Saints and the Rams potentially, is I like the Jaguars this weekend because they are basically at a point where they have to win this game. Otherwise, people are getting fired.
Why do you think they will, though? I mean, if history has shown us anything, it's that they're not going to win.
No, that's true. But I don't know. I like a good over-under on this game, too. Not okay. Just the money line. So something to look into.
All right.
Okay.
Well, let's see how we do.
Happy next betting. Week.
Happy betting.
And
Quinn's left. Quinn, so
Quinn left the building.
Time.
She's mad at us. We sent her to cool off. And yeah, we'll see her on another time, I hope. And then we'll see you on another time.
For sure.
For sure.